This week in your parents' basement, T-Rex doesn't want to be fed. He wants to hunt. You can't just suppress 65 million years of gut instinct. From 1993, we're playing Jurassic Park on the Sega Genesis. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is my regular co-host, who looks studly in a safari hat, Todd Brisket.
Gee, the lack of humility before nature that's being displayed here staggers me.
And our other regular co-host, this crazy son of a bitch did it. He cloned dinosaurs. It's Huell Hauser.
You have picked up the scent of Dr. Grant. As you stalk him through the jungle, beware of armed guards.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, be sure to support the show by using our Amazon click-through link on www.ypbpodcast.com. Each purchase gets us one video game closer to complete bookshelf buckling collections. Today's game is Jurassic Park. In 1993, there was one movie that got the whole world talking with how amazing it was, and that was Mrs. Doubtfire. Unfortunately, yes, they did not make a video game of it. However, they did make one based on Jurassic Park, a little movie by Stevie Spielberg. It's about dinosaurs, and it's based on a Mike Crittenden novel. Actually, to be clear, they made 9 games based on that first movie. Different versions came out for the NES, Sega CD, the arcade, the 3DO. There were 2 games for the Super Nintendo, and for our show today, there were 2 games for the Genesis. We're going to focus on that first game for the Genesis from Blue Sky Software, which allows you to play as Dr. Grant or a Velociraptor. Now, Huell, you picked this game for today's show. Was this one of your favorites growing up, or did you just want to experience it to show yourself raw to the world for today's show?
After experiencing it, I would not like to say it was one of my favorites. It's one I had. I mean, we wanted to try to do another Genesis game since I seem to be the only one that had one. but I do remember playing this, and I loved the movie as a kid, and I still do. Mm-hmm. I still think it holds up. And
yeah,
I think they did a decent job capturing like the aesthetic of Jurassic Park and like going in, like using the license and the franchise for what it was worth. But as a game, I'm not quite sure it lives up to good standards. I mean, off the bat, you get the T-Rex saying Sega in the beginning. I thought that was a nice touch. As you start, I should have known you had that. As you start up, and the gates open, you're looking into Jurassic Park, and there's lightning in the background, and you're ready to go. And then it starts, and you get rammed by Triceratops.
Yes. I got mauled by the
almost
Triceratops
right off the bat, and you're just not sure what you're doing.
I got my Dr. Grant got gored by a Triceratops
like about 50 times. He takes a lot of hits.
Yeah,
I'll give him that. But you're apparently just supposed to jump over it.
Yeah, you can actually jump on top and ride him.
Everything's completely fine. But you would think you're supposed to shoot the dinosaurs, but no, not all of them. I guess the plant eaters you can just ignore. But but then there's these little green dinosaurs,
the Compies.
The Compsognathus.
Yeah, the Compies.
Which is the actual name. And they are the bats of Jurassic Park.
Ooh.
They are the bats of every other game.
Paleontologist Huell over here. What was their name again?
Compsognathus is their actual... Yes, I also liked much of dinosaurs, and Jurassic Park probably led to that.
You are...
As a Ute.
You are correct, though. They are the goddamn bats of this game.
Yes. Because they are small, and you have to kneel down to hit them, but then they jump on and latch onto you.
They can mostly be ignored, though. You can just jump over them and keep going.
A little bit, yeah. But if you need to like go get an item and stand still for more than a second, they're on you.
Yeah. And you can only jump past them and walk past them if you can find where the hell you're supposed to be going, like in this dark, murky backgrounds of the game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you start in the jungle, but it's very dark. It's like dark greens and black. Yeah. And I have as a note, you're often just kind of jumping and falling blindly.
Yes.
Kind of hoping there's...
That was my biggest problem with the game. I didn't
you're
have
kind
any
of hoping
issue.
There's ground wherever you're going.
Yeah, I didn't have any issue kind of getting the hang of fighting the dinosaurs. It's just like the right. random leaps of faith you have to take.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Yeah, it's the dinosaurs themselves aren't especially hard. They kind of move in predictable patterns, and they don't. It's not like Castlevania, where if you kill something and then like walk an inch off the screen, it respawns. Instead, in this game, it's just you will jump like 50 feet through the air onto a ledge, and then a Triceratops or something will just knock you right off.
Yeah, or there'd just be a Dilophosaurus will be right there. Like just hanging on the edge at a point where you can't even jump up onto it.
Doesn't give you enough room to climb.
It's just standing there.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, a big problem with the jumping. Well, there are two main problems with the jumping for me. One is that it does the semi realistic jumping where it's like you don't float through the air.
You pop a squat first before you take off.
Yeah.
You're really ramping up.
You pop a squat and you can kind of jump like 5 feet in front of you or 10 feet in front of you, but not like a foot. Like it's kind of that weird sort of jumping. And the other thing is, the hardest thing for me in this game was just jumping onto friggin' ledges. Like
yeah it really was.
Like you have to hit the corner of the ledge, but you can only do it from certain approaches. I played this game for about an hour and it was incredibly frustrating. This was probably, I'd say this was the most frustrating game we've played for me.
Oh, really?
Because it wasn't, Lord of the Rings was frustrating, but it was so frustrating it was stupid and funny. Whereas with this game, I just didn't feel any joy playing it.
Go ahead, Todd. I talked about
it. Well, I was going to say that, you know, this is probably one of the better movie tie-in games of all time.
Yeah.
And compared to every other Jurassic Park game that came out, it's probably the best one.
I had grand designs of playing a couple of the other ones this week. But then I played this and I was just like, oh, God, no, I can't. I can't even.
Yeah,
this is the highest point of Jurassic Park's video game career.
That's saying a lot. Yeah.
And also, I mean, Huel was right. This game it matches the movie the closest feel to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you've got the T-Rex, you've got the Raptors. They almost use they did this weird thing in the 16-bit era where they had like pixelated like pictures, like they would be an actual like picture of something, but they just kind of pixelated it, where they didn't build sprites from pixels, but it was like a picture image. I don't know how to describe it exactly.
It's like digitized graphics almost.
There you go. There's some words.
It sounds technical. It's kind of like, it's clearly the predecessor of like proper motion capturing when you get to like PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. Before that came the polygons on the PlayStation, and before that was kind of. Like a lot of these games had digitized graphics. I feel like Pitfall.
This one had it's the Mortal Kombat technique where they film actors performing everything.
Right.
And then digitize that.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Because it's like the T-Rex images are definitely like straight from the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I read is that they actually got a hold of a couple of the models from the movie to digitize.
That's cool. Yeah, so they took advantage of the license instead of just slapping together. But some of it did feel a little slapped together. But
well, I will say it does work better in this game than most of the other games I've seen that use it. Like that Super Nintendo fighter game, Pit Fighter, which is just a horrible fighting game.
I don't think I know that.
You're really not.
It's very bad. Yeah.
Yeah. The digitized graphics in the 16-bit era were just kind of a joke for most games. But in Jurassic Park, you know, there is kind of a style to the game. And it does, you know, it's dark, but it does look kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the characters
look great in this. It's just the backgrounds that are too dark and too repetitive. Mm-hmm.
A little bit, yeah. I only got to like the second level. I did play as both the Raptor and Grant just to get a taste of both. And it's still just more darkness in this generator area.
But that is when, think about when you're a kid, this is the big reason why this is the best Jurassic Park game is because you can play as the raptor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a big advantage for this game.
Yeah, although I did watch YouTube videos of this game. The raptor has big maneuverability problems in the later stages.
The later stages?
Yeah, like the – well, especially the last stage.
Yeah.
The last stage.
Well, there's only like five stages per character.
Yeah, the last stage you have to make like a bunch of jumps past these enemy soldiers who are shooting you with like cattle prod kind of guns.
But, yeah, they shoot upwards.
Yeah, like the guns that Dr. Grant is using are now being used by like the enemy mooks against you.
They seem to have better ones than Grant does. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, because they're part of some military force that, you know, is a creation of the game. It seems like, because I don't.
Yeah, they're like Grant's stun gun is only like right in front of him. Like it only hits stuff, but like the enemies when you're the raptor, it like shoots lightning like feet in front of them. So like as you're jumping, they shoot into the air and then you just get knocked down.
Grant's stun gun can do the same thing. You just have to charge it up for like 5 seconds.
Oh, man.
Oh,
never mind.
But it's still horrible. I never used it, even after figuring that out.
No, I had plenty of darts.
I think you have to use the stun gun on some of the bigger dinosaurs. Like, you can... I use the stun gun on the Triceratops you see at the beginning, and it does stun it.
Oh.
Yeah, but the thing is, it is just easier to jump on the Triceratops's back instead of
that makes it a lot better.
Yeah, instead of even bothering with the stunning of it. But no, in the later stages, the raptor has a problem where it doesn't have a natural ranged attack. Its ranged attack is basically jumping across the screen and landing on something. Which doesn't work in some of the tighter stages at the end of the game. And there's one particular part where this guy has been playing basically a perfect game on YouTube, and then he just gets stuck for a minute and a half on like the last jump of the game because there's a guard right in front of it, and there's no way to kill the guard, and it's you have to like basically line up perfectly so that you can get hit back onto the ledge but still have enough space to kick the guard. So
shoot.
There doesn't seem to be a way to get past it without taking a couple hits. So,
yeah, it's just bad design. Like, a lot of this seems like really bad level design.
Yeah,
it like does. We talked about earlier with just jumping blindly. And
yeah,
it is pretty bad level design.
Like, everything else seems okay. I think that was the worst part. I mean, if they just had a little bit better layout and a little bit better indication, this might have been a decent game.
Yeah.
Because Grant has a lot of different weapons, like using the raptor's fun. Because it's like powerful. You don't often get like a powerful character right off the bat.
Yeah.
Like, it just touches anything and basically dies.
Yeah, you can kick anything in one hit.
Yeah, or jump
and
on
also,
it.
And also, as the raptor, you can eat the little compies and get some health
back. Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, that was very satisfying.
Satisfying is right, because they're so annoying when you're Grant, and you just walk around as a raptor and just eat them.
Ah, oh, that is fun. I mean, this is a game that really could have benefited from, I believe the term is a warm-up stage.
Yeah,
Sonic has one. Sonic's one is famous with the Green Hill Zone, where you know it's almost impossible to die in that first stage, and then the game gets a lot harder. I feel like this game could have used one because right off the bat, the very first time I played this game, I did not get past the first screen between the Triceratops and the little green dinosaurs, like they killed me.
Oh boy.
Like it just kind of like I just wanted to walk around as the doctor instead of having to worry right away about all the jumping.
I might die immediately.
Yeah, I think there is a pit like right after that Triceratops, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there's either endless pits or pits with 1,000 spikes at the bottom.
Yeah,
you just get trapped in there.
Mm-hmm. I don't quite remember from the movie, but I that's a minor complaint. The stages are somewhat faithful to the movie. Like they add a volcano stage. I don't think there is a volcano in Jurassic Park.
Mm, Nope.
Definitely not the movie. Nope. Well, one of you brought this up earlier. I forget that there is a military force. And yep. That is because I did check the manual one more time. And this actually takes place after the movie.
Oh.
So this is almost a new story for the game. Even though in the beginning of the game, they show you the scene of the Jeep next to the T-Rex paddock, and the T-Rex comes out and attacks. That's clearly directly from the movie, yet this game is supposed to take place afterwards, where Grant's helicopter crashes back onto the island.
Oh, jeez.
After he's left.
That's one unlucky dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they make no mention of everyone else that was in the helicopter. But
they all died.
Yeah, clearly they're all in flames. But
yeah,
fake
Helen Hunt is dead.
Yes. Poor man's Helen Hunt does not make it. And neither does the fly. But
poor Goldblum.
little Jimmy and Bimmy died too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bippy and Boppy.
You mean the star? The star of Law and Order Criminal Intent did not make it through this?
The hacker, no. but the Costa Rican government and the InGen Corporation are both converting.
Wow, is that racist? Aren't they the Native American company?
Yes, the InGens and Costa Ricans are converging on the island to kind of wipe out the dinosaurs, I guess. And Grant's like caught in the middle, along with having dinosaurs to worry about. So that's what all the military type people are.
Oh.
And that's why they're so aggressive and have all these weapons.
Well, it's nice that they kind of did that backstory, except, well, there's two problems. One is that if you're playing as Grant, I don't think you see any of the military forces. Like, they're not...
Probably not.
They're not in stages, if I remember from watching YouTube correctly. And the second thing is the second to last stage is the volcano stage, which, all right, fine, they add something for the game. But the last stage is, again, it's at, like, the museum that the end of the movie takes place in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the main compound.
Yeah, yeah, and the game ends by, like, you kill two raptors by dropping a giant dinosaur statue on them, like the giant fossil thing, which isn't that kind of how the movie ends a little bit? Like,
they're on the statue, but, spoiler alert, at the end of Jurassic Park, the T-Rex breaks in and kills the raptors.
Yeah, but he, like, knocks over the fossil of himself, kind of, doesn't he?
Whoa, that's me.
Mom,
that's my insides.
Yeah, and
it's his mom's skeleton.
And the aren't the dinosaurs are clones, so it could just be him.
Well, that is a good point. I got a lot of things to think about here.
I know that's what we're all clamoring for.
Why are they playing God in this game?
Yeah, instead of a proper sequel to Clonus, I want Clonus with dinosaurs. So.
Billy and the Clonosaurus. Well, they're playing God twice by not only recreating dinosaurs, but recreating a new Jurassic Park story for no reason, even though the game is based off a movie and everyone probably just wants to play through the movie storyline. They just created this convoluted...
And it was based off a book before that, too, right?
What, yeah, exactly.
When did the book come out? Do you guys have that handy?
1843, I believe.
So they've had a couple decades to hone up on the story, you know, read a Cliff Notes or two.
Cliff's Notes.
I did read the book when I was a kid. Well, I can't remember it was between like 10 and 15, so I'm not sure what that qualifies as. And the thing about for Jurassic Park and for Congo, like a lot of the Michael Crichton books, I read one of the other ones too. Like the books are much more bleak. They're kind of darker with less kind of heroes in them. So I don't really remember it being an especially fun read. But you could
definitely... it's a lot more technical side stuff and like corporate side stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like figuring out what to do with the park and like who's in control and why everything went wrong and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's a lot more detail. There is still the part where they're getting chased by dinosaurs and have to escape. So. That's still all in there, but there's a lot more backstory and a lot more corporate intrigue. The book came out in 1990, so it's not much
Oh, this was
longer before the movie.
Kind of an explosive growth series.
Yeah. It's,
the movie was 93. The books, the games came out in 93. Like
it's like Spieley read the book on the day it came out and was like, I got to make this a movie. Like 3 years doesn't seem that long. Yeah.
Now, do you think he read the book? I feel like he may have.
He has people to read the book for him.
Yeah.
They read it to him while he was on his stationary bike.
Yeah, I feel like his assistant probably read the book and just boiled it down to, hey, it's a theme park where they clone dinosaurs and things go wrong.
Yeah.
And before.
And we got that Stan Winston guy in our back pocket.
Stan Winston, is that Newman?
No, it's the special effects guy.
Special effects guy, the he did all the dinies, the dinosaurs.
All the dinies.
Oh, I don't know much about the movie biz.
Oh, here's a hot take for you. Here's a hot take.
Oh.
Jurassic Park is Stefan Spielberg's best movie.
You should play the dinosaur sound effect after that hot take. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, everyone seems to love Spielie, but I'm not the biggest fan. I mean, he makes like good movies, but they're not like incredible.
Well, I didn't say this is Citizen Kane Part 2. This is Stefan's best movie.
Which I would pay to see. I would love to see Citizen Kane Part 2 by Steven Spielberg. I feel like it would be interesting.
With Stan Winston on effects.
You know,
recreating Orson Welles.
It's cliche, but I think I like Raiders more.
Shit.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of always forget.
That's probably the highest.
I always forget he directed those. For some reason. But yeah, it definitely all three Indiana Joneses.
Well, the Joneses, yeah. Okay.
Well,
I'll buy that. You have swayed me. You've swayed me.
I'd insert JP after the first and third. Temple of Doom can go away.
Temple of Doom is definitely the lesser of the original three. And the fourth
movie. The only three, thank you.
Yes, the fourth movie never happened. No, the thing with Spielberg is while you can debate what his best movie is, I also don't think he has a ton of clunkers. Like, you kind of know that he has at least like a base level of quality. Although he does a bunch of books about like 1980s movies and 1990s movies get into this. He was willing to slap his name on quite a few movies that were probably going to be successful anyway.
Yeah, he has a lot of producing credits of movies that just happen to do good.
Yeah, like his name is like on Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Back to the Future, and it's
right.
Unclear how much he had to do with, especially Back to the Future. Like, his name is on all three of the movies as executive producer, and it's not clear.
This is just because they were from his production company.
Yeah.
But by default, his name goes on there.
I guess he's still, you know. I'm looking on his Wikipedia, and it's on there. I feel like he probably did not have anything to do with a lot of these movies that are just him executive producing.
I mean, I'm just looking at his directed list, and there's a lot I just have not seen. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jaws! Jaws is better than JP.
Oh, I think that's...
Come on.
Jaws is. Have you tried to watch it recently? It is.
Yes, I watch it a lot.
It is. It's 2 hours, man. It's
So it's the length of a movie. A
lot of terse.
Go on.
A lot of terse dinner scenes with the Brodies.
Yeah,
that I probably don't need to see.
Got to build tension.
Oh, are you screwing my wife? That's my Roy Schneider. It's very authentic.
I almost thought he was here.
Is he dead? I feel like he might be.
Yeah.
Roy Scheider, yeah, he dead, man. He dead.
Oh, he died in Little Rock, Arkansas. What a place to die. Poor guy.
Murdered by Bill Clinton.
How did he die? His chute didn't open.
Parole violation. Seem to be straying a bit.
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire. Why didn't they make a video game about Mrs. Doubtfire, by the way?
It could have been like a spy game where you're trying to get disguises and
And there's infiltrate. A whole lot of like taking prosthetics on and off and just running between two scenes
and having your boobs catch on fire.
Yeah. When they could have had a scene.
It's a drive-by fruiting.
Exactly. a scene set at a restaurant where you have to throw fruit at people.
And frantically change costumes in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, and also, this podcast is also becoming an unofficial Pierre Bronson appreciation.
Yeah, Pierre Bronson.
Yes, the Pierre Bronson
fan. I mean, he has come up in about six of the last eight episodes, right?
Yeah.
Approximately.
Yeah.
I think he voiced one of the Protoss in StarCraft.
Yeah.
Man, I just hope they made a Remington Steel video game, because we'll have to cover it. Now, by the way, getting into the history of this prestigious video game system, this video game series here, I didn't realize until I looked it up on Wikipedia, but Jurassic Park has a relentless number of installments and sequels for pretty much every single one of the movies and every system that ever existed.
Oh, yeah. Anytime a new movie comes out, there has to be a game and a sequel to that game.
Oh, definitely. In addition to the 9 games based on the original movie, there were 10 games based on The Lost World. There were another 7 based on Jurassic Park 3. And 2015's Jurassic World, it has 3 games so far. But it's probably going to have more, because I feel like people didn't realize Jurassic World was going to be a Titanic hit. And by the way, there's also another 7 games that are not tied to any of the movies specifically. Like there's actually a fun sounding game that I did not try. It's Theme Park, but with Jurassic Park.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that sounds like it could be fun. Like maybe I can manage to do better than Newman and Samuel Jackson did at managing them dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So all told, there are 36 different versions of various Jurassic Park games.
That's a lot of dinosaurs. Hey, you know, I did play this game as a young boy.
Oh,
but more than this game, I played the direct sequel to it, Jurassic Park Rampage Edition, which is the exact same style of game as this one, except for the controls are a little tighter, and it just gets. It gets nutty. Like there's a stage in the game where you're riding one of those. You're Dr. Grant. You're riding one of those emu looking dinosaurs that run around the fields.
Yeah,
Gallimimus.
Yeah, and you're shooting rockets up at a helicopter that's chasing you.
What? That is nutty. I need that.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued, but also that sounds like hot garbage in a way.
Yeah.
It unfortunately, sounds hard as hell, I'll tell you that.
It's not as good as the first one. I mean, it's the same. It's like it's a little different flavor, the same thing. Yeah.
I feel like Sam Neill, the star of Alcatraz, as Dr. Grant, I don't think he was really into killing dinosaurs. Wasn't that part of his deal?
Didn't it say in the intro to the game, you are Dr. Grant and you must now euthanize an entire island of dinosaurs?
One by one.
Go
well, he
one
uses
by one.
He uses stun guns and tranquilizers and gas bombs. He never actually kills them, because you'll notice if you knock out a dinosaur and go off screen for 2 seconds and go back, they're already up and spinning back at you again.
Also, if you look at them after you relentlessly puncture them with darts into their body, and they're laying on the ground. Their chests are moving up and down as if they're sleeping soundly.
Sleeping and dreaming of biting you.
I mean, that does kind of fit more with the theme of the movie, where in the movie the dinosaurs are just, you know, they're not evil. They're just creatures.
Wild beings.
They know not what they do.
Yeah. It's not like that Jaws, where Jaws is clearly evil.
Oh, he's hunting.
Yeah.
He's tracking us.
And by the third and fourth movie, he wants revenge.
And so do his parents or something.
Ghost of Jaws. Oh. Good times. Good times with Jurassic Park here.
You know, that's the other thing. I mean, Grant is knocking them out with various technology, but even as a raptor, when you attack and slice up a spitty guy, they'll still come back. They'll still come back after you walk off screen. Like, you can't kill dinosaurs in this game. It was very frustrating in the power plant level, where you kind of had to backtrack a bit and like go up levels, mm-hmm. where they would just be back. Like, you couldn't get rid of anything.
Yeah. I do like that as the Velociraptor. You can open doors, which is very...
Well, it's like the movie. They can do that in the movie.
Yeah. It's directly from the movie.
Yeah. And I always remember... do you guys remember The Critic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have several scenes spoofing Jurassic Park, and they are all wonderful.
Okay.
Where Sweet. It's like, you can't lock the door on the Velociraptor. It's too smart. And then it picks the lock. So...
Amazing. Guess you had to be there.
Well, on the GoldenEye show, we mentioned that most licensed games are bad. And while I did not enjoy this one, it's clearly made with like a level of care. It's made with
There's a lot of effort that went into this game.
Yeah, it wasn't just a piece of crap shovelware like a Home Alone or
And this was made by Blue Sky Software, which we might be familiar with because they made a little platformer called Vector Man.
Oh. Indeed they did.
I did not realize that, but now that you say that, it does make sense. They look they kind of look similar in a way.
Yeah, the same kind of elements, platformery, shooty kind of stuff.
Yeah, same issues with having trouble running around without jumping off of platforms and that kind of stuff.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, you do kind of jump a lot, hoping for the best in Vector Man. Yeah. Also. At least you have rocket boots.
Yeah. Oh, they were owned by... Blue Sky Software was owned by Titus, which I did not...
The comedian?
No. Titus...
Christopher?
Titus, the French software publisher. Which
I feel like we talked about this.
I don't know. A lot of these companies kind of blur together in my mind.
I honestly don't remember.
listen, guys, no one's perfect.
Here's some other boring history. The lead artist on this game named Doug Tinnipel went on a year later to design the character in the video game series Earthworm Jim.
Oh, neat.
And then he founded his own company, Shiny Entertainment, where he made Neverhood and Skull Monkeys, which are a couple of very artistic adventure games where the whole animation, it was stop motion animated characters.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
If you're, yeah, it has a unique style to those games. So, and then he recently launched a successful Kickstarter campaign for a game called Armacrog, which is another stop-motion animated adventure game that is a spiritual successor to Neverhood.
Oh.
It just seems like he's making it more difficult for himself. Trying to make a stop-motion-based video game translated
into the
digital realm.
It could be easier, maybe. Like, you don't have to spend all that time doing modeling in 3D, although that is very efficient now.
Yeah, that sounds a lot faster.
You just take a picture. Take a couple pictures.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to change something. It's a lot quicker to go in the digital one than having to reshoot a stop animation sequence. Mm-hmm.
There is one other bit of trivia with this game series. The Lost World has the distinction of being the last game released for the Game Gear. Now, what year do you guys think that came out in?
Sounds like a trick question.
The Game Gear?
The last last game,
the Lost World for the Game Gear.
Last
1999.
No.
2001.
No, it was actually 97, which still seems late to me that they were still making Game Gear games in 1997.
Perhaps.
And I'm sure that game probably goes for $50 million now.
Well, I know that every Game Gear game is high quality, and it's worth the price. It's worth that price just so you can actually play it.
to the point where we have discussed doing a Game Gear game at some point, and we honestly can't think of one.
Well, you know, guys, it is in color, so
that
alone is worth the system.
You can play portable versions of your Genesis games, except bad.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. Well, also, I was trying to look up like what some of the last Game Gear games were, and it's proving unsuccessful. But apparently, it was also licensed in 2000, like to be a budget title. So you can probably find like a knockoff Game Gear pretty cheap now. So, just in case you really want one.
No.
It's got 8 kilobytes of RAM.
Ooh.
Wow.
Now you're speaking my language.
Oh, I knew I'd get you. All right. Well, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to add about Jurassic Park here?
GP. Not really. I mean, there's some annoyances, but I think there's elements of what could be a good game. It just didn't really come together. Mm-hmm.
We should really be thankful we played this one instead of any of the other Jurassic Park games.
So everyone should thank me for choosing this one.
Come on, I'm sure the NES one from 1993 was probably a really stellar game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love to spend hours and hours aimlessly walking around a map looking for dinosaur eggs.
Oh, God. Is that what you do in it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Ooh, eggs.
It sounds horrible, because I'm sure whatever Nintendo versions there are, they would have to be less violent than whatever Sega was offering. So I'm sure you probably do go around collecting eggs or something like that. Oh, Jesus. Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to add about Jurassic Park here?
No. It's a decent enough movie tie-in, and you know, don't check it out.
Yeah.
This is one where you can just look at a YouTube video for 5 minutes and you'll be done with this game.
Yeah, or look at some of the screenshots, appreciate the effort they put in, and that's about it.
Yeah, and by the way, on YouTube
it's returned.
On YouTube, the best video of this, someone beats it as Dr. Grant in about 22-23 minutes.
Oh boy.
And by the way, he's not really he's not hustling through the stages either. He seems to be, you know, he knows where things are, but he's not using a ton of glitches or anything. The Velociraptor run through is like 11 or 12 minutes long. So
yeah, I noticed that the jungle stage for the raptor is a lot shorter just from the little bit I played.
The raptor can run fast. He's a speedy little guy.
I tried how? Like I was moving so slow.
I think you have to push forward and up diagonal.
What?
Well, and also he can jump a lot further than the good doctor. So that helps when you're just trying to get through these stages.
Yeah, he jumps. This vertical leap is very high. It's absurd. Like if you hold up and jump, he goes like four stories. Yes.
It's second only to Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City, amongst games we've played.
Pretty much. If only that raptor could dunk.
This game does feel a lot like Chaos in the Windy City.
Oh, wow. You know what? You're kind of... You're not that far off with that.
Wait, did you play that one? Didn't you miss that episode?
I missed it, but I still... Hey, man.
You're a purist.
Are you doubting me?
Why be completist?
He's
Completionist.
Yeah. He's a fan of the show first and a participant second.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the art.
I'm not in it for the glory.
Ah.
Oh, I did. You know, you remind the speedrun reminded me. There was one thing in the manual for the game. Mm-hmm. Like there's a password system for the game where like you save your progress each level with a password.
Yep.
And they show you an example of the password screen in the manual. And there's an actual usable password on there to get to the volcano level as Dr. Grant.
Oh.
So they just put that in there. I don't know if it was just a mistake or they were just helping you out, but.
Oh.
Just waiting. It's just there for some clever girl to find.
Yeah, do not doubt that I took full advantage of that as a child and got to the volcano stage.
That's a nice little Easter egg of them to pop in there.
I always thought it was just a mistake and they effed up. But I thought that was funny.
Oh. Speaking of neat little tidbits and some good news, some good tidings, Todd, I believe you have something to share with us.
Oh yeah, we have a reason why this game is the most best game of all time. So it's a review. This week's most best game of all time review comes to us from a GameFAQs user named Baradur. Baradur. He spells his name differently than Sauron's Tower in Lord of the Rings. So, we can only assume that that's his real name, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Baradur Smith.
Mm-hmm. The title of his review is The Best Game for the Sega Genesis. I played the Jurassic Park games for the Super Nintendo before, and frankly, I wasn't very impressed. The original JP was pretty good, but the side-scrolling JP2 was what I preferred. When I heard that there was another Jurassic Park game, similar to JP2 for the Genesis, I thought it would be worth checking out. Little did I know what I was in for. This older game completely left the SNES Jurassic Parks in the dust. Here is why. Gameplay, 10 out of 10. Jurassic Park has one very nice feature to it that can't be found on the SNES version. You can play as a Velociraptor. Aside from playing the Raptor, you can also play as Dr. Grant, who is also pretty cool to use since he has so many weapons. Like most of the games around that time, this is a side-scroller game. As for the control, it's okay. I just wish that the characters would move faster.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Challenge, 10 out of 10. One thing all Jurassic Park games have in common is the challenge. This is a hard game. Of course, if you play as the raptor, then the game is obviously going to be easier, since all you have to do to kill something is jump on it. If you play as Grant, then you've chosen the harder game, as Grant can only kill something if he shoots it a billion times. Story, 9 out of 10.
Oh,
lacking.
Since there are basically two different games in this title, the Raptor game and the Grant game, then there are going to be two different stories. I'll explain them both in as much detail as I possibly can.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I'm not prepared for this.
Grant. Grant's stuck on Isla Nublar, and he's trying to find a way off it without getting mauled by a dinosaur. Raptor.
Wait, that's
the Velociraptor.
It? Seriously, it's everything you're writing is verbatim?
Yes.
As much... Okay.
This is as much detail as you possibly could put there. Right, Raptor. The Velociraptor, for some reason, is following Dr. Grant all over the island so he can kill him.
Oh, yeah, that is something we didn't mention, that the Raptor is chasing Dr. Grant throughout the game.
For an unexplained reason, this guy's right.
He picks up his scent. Let's go on.
And that's all he could possibly write about that?
Yep. I mean, what else could you put?
All right. Summed it up perfectly.
Yeah.
Graphics, 10 out of 10. When compared to other Genesis games, this title definitely has some of the better graphics. However, after playing the SNES Jurassic Parks, it becomes easy to point out all of the inferiorities that the Sega version has in the graphics department.
But 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. It's inferior, but 10 out of 10. Sound. Again, the SNES has the advantage, this time in the sound department, but when compared to other Genesis titles like Jurassic Park, it's one of the best when it comes to audio. 10 out of 10.
Oh boy.
So wait, when it's compared to other Genesis games like Jurassic Park?
Yes.
10 out
it's
of 10.
10 out of 10.
Oh, right. Well.
Okay.
Maybe he copy-pasted from his review of Alex Kidd.
Can't argue with that.
All right, couple more bullets on here. It says, all right, playtime / replayability. This is surely going to keep you busy for quite some time. Even after you beat it, it's still fun to go back and play it every once in a while. After you beat the game, though, there's really not much else you can do with it. 7 out of 10.
Oh.
Honesty bleeding through.
Rent or buy? If you like the movies, then you should buy this game. I don't know where you'd be able to rent this, so you might as well pick it up at a game trader.
Useful advice.
In my opinion, Jurassic Park is the best game for Sega Genesis. It has it all. Great gameplay, nice challenge, good graphics and sound, velociraptors, many various types of firearms, ... GameFAQs reviewer's rating, 5.0, flawless.
Oh, boy.
Flawless.
I was going to say, by my count, he had given it 47, 56 points out of a possible 60.
Well, yeah, I guess if you round up, then
it's a big old 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Oh, it's always nice to see someone who can look on the brighter side of a game. Even if it
it's a very dark,
even if other games are
game.
Better.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, if you have his profile up, what other games has he reviewed? Cuz I feel like I need some comparison.
I'll have to. Oh, here's a link. Oh, he's reviewed quite a few games that we might be interested in. Donkey Kong Country.
Oh.
Star Fox.
We covered that.
Barney's Hide and Seek for the Sega Genesis.
Definitely. I'm in.
Of course.
Link's Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what else we got here. Super Star Wars.
It's Zelda 2, correct?
That's Zelda on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at his page now. He went on a row. Like between March and July of 2003. Yeah, it looks like he contributed 43 reviews. Oh, and wow. Also, by the way, Brisket, apparently that was an artifact name, and that he has since changed his screen name. And do you see what his new name is?
Oh, yeah, I see there. Lord_Metallica.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, good old Lord Metallica. Oh, and do you know he also calls the greatest game of all time, according to him, at least according to the title he gave his review,
Jurassic Park?
Nope. Kool-Aid Man for the Atari 2600.
Ooh. Now,
oh boy.
Little inside baseball here. I had that game when I was growing up. I had Kool-Aid Man, and it was actually a surprisingly fun game.
What?
It's not the best game of all time, but it's for the Atari generation, it's great.
I'm now looking at the front cover, and I thought, oh, it can't possibly be about the Kool-Aid Man. But no, it is a game about the Kool-Aid Man, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, there's a little pixelated Kool-Aid Man here in the screenshot.
Do you just bust through various walls? Or?
Yeah, Brisket.
The walls get larger as the levels go on.
I cannot tell what kind of game this is from the screenshots. It just looks like him on various backgrounds and
just a little actiony Kool-Aid Man game. You do bust through a wall or two.
Oh,
I'm sure I trust this description.
I mean, there are shockingly there are 5 reviews for it. One is a half heart, but the others are all 3. One is 3.5, one is 4.5, and two are fives. So apparently, yes, this apparently was a decent action arcade game for the Atari 2600. Jesus. They don't make licensed games like they used to.
Oy.
Good times. All right, we better move on before we go deeper into this wormhole here. Let's move on to the email portion of the show here. Brisket, did you get any emails this week?
Oh, you know what? My opening, where the mail things go.
Yep.
Is still untainted.
Interesting.
I would argue it is tainted. Like, it has been tainted. It's just superficially clean right now, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, Huel, did you get any emails this week?
I did receive one email, but it may not be from who you think. I received one from pipboy@yahoo.poo, and the body simply says Fallout. Not sure what conclusions to draw from that, but I can only assume they are referencing the new Fallout 4 release.
Of course.
Seems to be sweeping the nation and possibly the world.
I know. I would...
All the kids are doing it.
Yeah. They're injecting it into their eyeballs.
I do feel like it, you know, that interest in that game is at a fever pitch.
It seems odd. Like, I mean, it is a popular franchise, but it seems to be a bigger deal than it ever has been.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
It might be the length of time between releases.
I think it's a multi-factor thing. It's
yeah.
A big impact on it is Skyrim, which, you know, Skyrim's the one that turned people on to.
That is true.
That style of game.
Mm-hmm. Skyrim was a very popular, which was the most popular of the Elder Scrolls games. But I guess this being the first Fallout 4 of the quote-unquote new generation.
Mm-hmm.
Might be the big, like, see what is it capable of? Like, what can they do with a bigger world and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, and
I'm also psyched because it's, this one is set in a place I know and I've been to. Like, I've been to Boston quite a few times.
This is what I'm afraid of. Is like, I started playing, I've only played about 2 or 3 hours so far, but I've never been to that area. I have no idea what any of the landmarks are or anything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm still going to enjoy it the same. When the Fallout 3, when you went to DC, I could recognize some places because I've been there before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But this one, I have no idea. Like, there's little museums that you've probably heard of that I've never heard of.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have intentionally stayed dark about a lot of the game aspects just because I'm not a big trailer guy. I kind of like to experience them naturally. But I have seen that, you know, Fenway Park is in the game. I think it's not called Fenway Park. I think it's called, like, Diamond Park or something like that.
Yeah, they always have cutesy little names for real locations.
Yeah.
Similar to, like, a Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, yeah. Fenway's in there, and I think Harvard is supposed to be in there. And, like,
interesting.
Some of the Boston colleges. And it's also, I think the map is supposed to be, like, however many times bigger than Skyrim and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, I'm excited. Like, it is the reason I'm buying a PlayStation 4 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Is so that I can get into Fallout. And I also, the only thing I'm really worried about is I'm trying to platinum Fallout 3 right now, and the game is just so buggy on the PlayStation. Like my... Really? Oh my goodness, it's notorious on message boards that, like, they have a whole bunch of things that almost sound like superstitious native kind of stuff. Like, oh, once your save file gets over 10 meg, like, like the game just crashes constantly and don't even try the DLC. And I thought they were joking, but no, it took me like I'm lucky if I can play more than an hour of Fallout 3 without the system crashing. So
that sounds horrible.
It's not fun. Like I am thinking of just going back to, like, I keep saves from when I'm at level 10, level 15, that kind of stuff. Just going back to those and just playing through some of the game from that area, because at least I won't crash every 15 feet. So. Right.
I played 3 on the 360, and I mean, not when it first came out, but there was a famous like game crashing bug. Mm-hmm. Like as you got towards the end, it would just like destroy everything.
They did eventually
patch it, and since then I've had no problems with it. Like I've started a few games with it, like loaded old saves. Mm-hmm. But there must be something about the PlayStation one that just they never bothered fixing, or
yeah,
something.
Bethesda is they're not quiet about the fact that they are much more comfortable with the PC and the Xbox.
Oh, okay.
And that's also part of the reason why, like, Skyrim is much buggier on the PlayStation than the other consoles, and the DLC was also much delayed on the PS3 versus the other ones.
Yeah. I mean, there's such ambitious games just in scope and everything that there's gonna be bugs, and I kind of give them a pass for that.
Yeah.
Like, they try so much.
Yeah,
that I appreciate their effort, and I don't freak out about game bugs.
Yeah, I think I may have mentioned that before on a show or somewhere else, where, like, how do you possibly playtest Skyrim or Fallout 4? Like,
you can't do everything.
Yeah, unless you just held the completed game out of the marketplace for 6 months and just had, like, you know, 100 people just going at it. But, you know, what's the point? Then it's just going to... Like, all the mystique of the game would then leak out from the playtesters, because you can't control a group that big.
Yeah, you'd have to have so many.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and there's just so many different things you can do with the game, and, you know, Skyrim, people are still finding secrets and that kind of stuff. Like the fact that your companions can use the Giant's Club and all that sort of fun stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think all three of us are on board for Fallout 4, it sounds like.
I've, little peeling back the curtain, this is the day after it released, and I've already played it for 8 hours. I had a very long session last night and played another 2 today, so.
Oh my god.
I'm deep in.
It's
deep in, yeah.
It's so addictive.
I've just barely scratched its claws into me. I barely scratched the surface so far.
Oh, it's,
yeah. I got dog meat, and that's about it.
I mean, I'm 100% into these kind of games anyway, so I knew no matter what I was gonna be playing the crap out of it.
Oh, so addictive. Yeah. I got a platinum Fallout 3.
I'm telling you, just if you're excited for 4, just play 4. You can go back to New Vegas. Like it's fine.
The thing is though,
there's no continuity.
The thing is though, I know once I play 4, I'm not gonna want to go back to the older games.
Yeah,
I don't. I think you could.
I think
there's a lot of improvements in the interface, but
yeah, that's true.
That's the biggest change between the series. Even the Elder Scrolls games, you can make the jump back from Skyrim to Oblivion, but the jump before that one is the tough one.
Yeah, that is true. That's a good point. Like they're still playable. A lot of good stuff going on in gaming, and by that we mean this one thing.
It's the first new game I've bought in a long time, and I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm planning on buying this, and I figure this will probably tide me over till January, to be honest, between this
oh,
and
for sure
in New Vegas. So, I received one email. Hey guys, show number 26 was your 6 month anniversary show, and you didn't even realize it. What's been your favorite episode from your first 6 months? Sincerely, Orenthal Simpson. Nope, not the one you're thinking of.
Well, Orenthal is a very common name, so
yes,
especially Orenthal Simpson.
Well, you know, he You can't change the name that you've been given.
Right.
Well, you can, but, you know, this person did not.
Literally can do that, yeah.
Yes. They had every reason in the world to change their name, and yet they did not. So we should just answer their question respectfully.
Sure. Probably. I think the default choice that we go back to is Shaq Fu. But
yeah.
But I'm gonna play opposite to that and say my favorite might be Myst
with
guest Jovial Jackie.
Yeah, I was looking through the list and that one popped out at me just because of the absurdity of the world and the characters and stuff. We had it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I will say not that my sweet baby boy Brisket and Huel that I don't appreciate you two, but I do feel it's always fun when we have a guest on.
Sure.
Yeah. A new perspective.
Yeah, we are, you know, to peel back the curtain a little bit, we are going to have some more guests on next month. We've got some big-time bookings coming on. But I think my favorite with the guest was probably with Backsack. That was a fun show with Contra.
Contra.
Yeah.
It was fun there.
Yep. Yep, Dale and DJ, my old buddies, were good times. And probably the show where it was just us three, to sound vain for a second, I did like our Lord of the Rings show.
Oh, yeah. That was a treat.
It was like Misery Loves Company.
A little bit, yeah.
It was. And
a lot to hate there.
Yeah, and Hawkman 5000 liked that show. Because,
yes.
Because we bonded together in the hate. so many.
Yeah, as a raging narcissist, I'd have to pick Shaq Fu.
that was a fun show. Just, oh man, it really makes me wish that Scottie Pippen's puzzle challenge was
real. Yes,
I mean people are trying to Kickstarter Mystery Science Theater 3000 when really they need to they need to check their privilege. They need to
They need to look at what the culture needs, what we need in this world.
Yeah.
Enough with the talking puppet robots, man.
Yeah. There's enough snark in this world.
Yeah.
We don't need more.
Everybody's riffing on everything nowadays.
Yeah. You can do it from the comfort of your own computer.
Yeah, basketball lives matter. And what we need is a game based on a multi-million dollar NBA player who could probably self-finance this, but we need to raise the money for that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
we don't want to put any risk to him.
No. Maybe even a movie based on the game. We'll have to see how things go with our Kickstarter. Anyways. So here's to we're past 26 now, but hopefully we get 26 more.
Indeed.
We'll have to see if the network picks us up for the back nine.
We're back 26.
Yeah, back. Back 26, I'll have to talk to our agents.
Yep. Get him on the blower.
get baby doll on the horn. All right. Well, Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we sign out here?
Yeah, Steve, after some consideration, I've decided not to endorse your show.
I agree. Huel, what do you have to say?
Just always keep in mind that if you fail to defeat the enemies, they will destroy your species.
Oh, well, that's an uplifting note to end on here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and here is a snifferoo from the jaunty little game we're going to be playing next week.